Today's daf is Becharos daf Lamed Zayin. We are holding on daf Lamed Vav and Beis, not at the last Mishnah Lamed Vav and Beis, but the second to last Mishnah on Lamed Vav and Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by David Ham, an internet participant from Yerushalayim, in honor of his wife Margie, and by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So on the second to last mission, we're going to discuss who is Ne'eman about a mum on a Bechar, not on a Bechar, but a Meiser. We've been talking a lot about who is and isn't Ne'eman to say that a mum was not placed there on purpose on a Bechar. What about on Meiser Behemoth? Then the next Mishnah is going to talk about who is allowed to be Matir Bechar when the mum is obvious. Do you need a mumcha? Can you go to a group of people? If it's three people who aren't mumchim, does it make a difference? The Gemara is going to discuss if it's in Chutz Laaretz or it's in Eretz Yisrael. Does it make a difference if it's Bizman HaBayis or Shalom Bizman HaBayis? And then the Mishnah Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, the last Mishnah in the Perek, is going to discuss reimbursing money to somebody that you sold a Bechar to, meat from a Bechar, with that didn't have a heter. So do you reimburse the money that the person had? Does it make a difference if he ate it yet or he didn't eat it yet? And the Gemara is going to talk about what about other things that you sold to the person. The Mishnah itself already talks about what about other machalos asuros that you sold to a person. Do you have to reimburse money to the person? They ate it, they enjoyed their lunch. Now do you have to reimburse them for the money that they paid for something that in fact was a davar ha'asur? And then Be'ez Hashem will begin the sixth parak of Maseches Becharos, and the Mishnah is going to list specifically four different types of mumin that can happen in the ozen, in the ear of an animal, which is going to cause the Gemara to discuss how do we learn from Pesukim what is and what is not a mum, what gets defined as a mum, internal, external, permanent, temporary, only a mum that prevents an animal from doing malacha, or any type of mum. So we're going to discuss all of those details and how they're derived from the Pesukim, and then on Amud Beis we're going to have a discussion about the size of a hole in the ear that would make an animal into a bal mum. There's going to be machlokas, and we'll see some of the details of that. So let's begin with the Mishnah on Lamed Vav and Beis, the second to last Mishnah, halfway down the page. I said it right. Yeah. So says the Mishnah, Kol Ne'eman Amal Mumei Meiser. Everyone is believed about Mumin of Meiser. So Rashi points out, it means, Laheyit Shemei Elav Nafal Bo, just to be made that it happened on its own. And Ubisafik Meiser Ka'amar, Kugon Kar, L'chia Siri, Damrin Perak Akron, Ein Nechol Ve'la Tekan Al B'mum. We're talking about something that is a Safik Meiser, where you would then need to wait for a Mum to happen, and then it could be Ne'echal. By Vadei Meiser, there is no Ne'echal B'mumo Tekar, but when it comes to Suffolk Meiser, so that's where we say that Eino Nechal Ella B'mumo, so it's necessary that it develop a mum. So says Gemara, my time, why is it that HaKol Ne'eman Amal Mumei Meiser? So Di'ibai Yishadi Be'mumei Kara, the reason you're believed, even though you're the owner, is because if you wanted, you could have just put a mum in the animal. Well, says Gemara, Miyada Heinafik, how could you have put a mum in the animal? You don't know in advance which one would come out as number 10 to be Matil Mum in it Meikara. Maybe you'll say, well, you'll position it in such a way that you'll sort of make sure that it's the 10th one to come out. The Torah says you're not allowed to do that. You have to just let it be. You can't decide which animal is going to be the one to come out 10th. No, the point is that if you want, you could just put mumin in all of the animals. You go around clipping the ears off all of the animals before you ever open the pen and let them come out one by one and count toward Meiser, and then you'll know for sure that it's good that the one that's going to be Meiser has a mum. So since you could do that in advance, you have no reason to be Matil Mum after it's already Meiser. If you really wanted to be Matil Mum, you could have done so beforehand. Next Mishnah, Bechar Shnismus Eino, V'shenikta Yado, V'shenishpa Raglo. If a Bechar has, it's blinded in the eye, it's got a foreleg or a hind leg cut off or broken, Hareze Yishachet Al Pigimel B'nei HaKnesses. You can shecht it just on the heter of three members of the congregation who are not chachamim, or not bekiyim, or not experts in being matir mumin. But everyone could see these things. These things are obvious mumin. Rabbi Yossi Amar Afilu Yesham Chav Gimel Eino Nishchat El Al Pi Mumcha. You could have a basin of Chav Gimel, but if none of them are a mumcha in terms of being matir mum, then it's not going to be good enough. You cannot rely on them. So Rabbi Simlai, Rabbi Dinasiya Tervai Mishmeid, Rabbi Shobin Levi Amri, Rabbi Simlai, Rabbi Dinasiya both said, name Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, or the Amri Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Shimon ben Levi to Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yudanasiya Amri, or is Rabbi Shimon ben Levi and Rabbi Shimon ben Levi in the name of Rabbi Yudanasiya that said, so two out of the three said it in the name of the third, Hataras Bechar Bechutz La'aretz Al Pi Shlosha B'nei Knesses. To be Matir Bechar Bechutz La'aretz, you don't need a Mumcha, you don't need Chacham, you can have three B'nei Knesses. Amarava Ubi Mum in Mufhakin. But that's only if you're dealing with a Mum Mufhak, with a Mum that's very obvious, that's very clear, that anybody could look at the animal and realize that that's a Mum Kavua. So my Kamashmalan, what's the great Chiddush that Rav is telling me? Tanina, I already know. The Mishnah said, Bechar Shinis Mesenov Shinikta Yadov Shinis Tabra Raglo Harezu Yishachit Alpi Gimel Bnei Knesses, that it gave all the examples of these mumin in the Mishnah that you can rely on. Gimel Bnei Knesses says, "Var imi masnis nav amina b'chutz laaretz afilu mumin shein mufakin." I would have thought from our Mishnah that if it were in chutz laaretz, you don't need it to be such mumin mufakin like nikta yada nishpar raglo. V'aydiktani mufakin. The only reason the Mishnah mentioned mumin mufakin is l'diachu kochet Rabbi Yossi, that even though it's mumin mufakin, Rabbi Yossi still insists that you still need a mumcha. So that's why I need Rabbi to tell me that it's dafka that even in chutz laaretz it's dafka mumin mufakin and not mumin she'enin mufakin. Period. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Safek Mishmei de Rav, Safek Mishmei de Shmuel. So we're going to see later whether we can reconcile who was in the name of. Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba said something, but he wasn't sure if he was saying it in the name of Rav or the name of Shmuel. Both Rav and Shmuel moved from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and they established great yeshivas in Bavel. When they originally came, they made all sorts of takanas and gezeros. They originally came to Bavel, and they saw that there was a lot of amarat, a lot of piety, but also a lot of amaratzos. So they had to make all sorts of takaras, and they built great Torah centers in Eretz. So somehow he wasn't sure whether it was which of these giants were the ones that said this. Was it Rav or Shmuel? So Gimel Matirin as a Bechar b'makom shein mumcha. That if you don't have a mumcha, then three people could be Matir Bechar. So my Kamashman Tanina Reza Yishachid Api Gimel B'nei Knesses. Yeah, that's what the Mishnah says. What's the Chiddush? So Imi Masnis and Havamina b'makom mumcha. So if it were from the Mishnah, I would have said afilu b'makom mumcha the Bach adds in that even when there is a mumcha, you're allowed to rely on three b'nei knesses. Kamash malan b'makom she'ein mumcha in b'makom she'ish mumcha lo. That the whole heter that the Tanakama has to rely on gimel b'nei knesses is only when there is no mumcha. But if there's a mumcha available, you got to use the mumcha. Amram chia bar amram gimel matirin es habachar b'makom she'ein mumcha. Chia bar amram says three people can be matir b'char when there's no mumcha. Gimel matirin es haneder b'makom she'ein chacham. You can rely on three regular people to be matir neder if there's no chacham around to be matir neder. Gimel matirin es b'char b'makom she'ein mumcha. Three people can be matir b'char when there's no mumcha. La'afuke mid Rabbi Yossi. That is to tell me against the Rabbi Yossi of our Mishnah. Because Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah said that even if you have chav gimel, it's eino nishchat el al pi mumcha, that you never have such a heter of three regular people being matir. Shlosha matirin es haneder. It should be matirin, not mafirin. L'chora, that's what's pointed out in the source of Shas on the side. Shlosha matirin es haneder b'makom she'in chacham. Three people could be matir and neder when there's no chacham. La'afuke mid Rabbi Yehuda. That comes to tell me not like Rabbi Yehuda. D'tanya hafaras nedarim begimel, because the Brisa tells us the Tanakama says you need three people for hafaras nedarim. Rabbi Yehuda omer echad mehem chacham, and Rabbi Yehuda says one of them should be a chacham. B'makom she'ein chacham. So you see clearly Rabbi Yehuda says that one of the three has to be a chacham, and over here we're saying that three people could be matir neder b'makom she'ein chacham when there's no chacham. So b'makom she'ein chacham kigon man. Who is this chacham that could be matir neder by himself? Meaning we're saying that when do you need three when there's no chacham? If there's a chacham, apparently you don't need three. That one fellow could do it by himself. What's the definition of chacham in this context? Some Rav Nachman kigona na. So Rav Nachman says, yeah, like me. So a lot of the Achronim are bothered. That seems a little bit, a little much for a person to identify himself as a Chacham. So you have such a similar comment at the end of Masechta Sota with when Mishames Rebbe Batla Anava, when the Mishnah says, when the Gemara says, when Rebbe dies, Anava was Batla, there was no longer humility, and Amar Rav Yosef Altisni Anava, the Ika Anav. So some of the Achronim over there point out, they're a nice Vartlach in how to explain the Gemara. Some of the Achronim, though, point out, the Ika Anav is the name of an Amora. So he wasn't saying, there's me, he was saying that Altisni Anava, the Ika Anav, Anav is such an Anav. So maybe that's why he never talks up in Shas. He never actually says anything in Shas, but people are always pointing him out. Who's the Chacham that could be Matir Neder? Ana is such a Chacham. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Echad Me'an Chacham Mechal Dehanuch Koldehu. And Rabbi Yehuda says one of them has to be a Chacham. Sounds like the other two guys don't have to be anything. They don't have to know anything. So Ravina de Mistabri Levesavar. They have to know something. They have to be intelligent enough that if you explain to them Hilchos Nedarim, they can learn it. They can understand it. But they don't have to be. They just don't have to be a Chacham of a Madrega like Ana or like Rav Nachman, depending how you read the Gemara. But at least enough that if you explain to them the basics of Hilchos Nedarim, that they'll know the halachos, and therefore the one who's a Chacham can teach the other two fellows the halachos of Nedarim. Tosus on the bottom of Lam Vavam Beis has a psak. He says it says psak in bold, but it's unclear what that word is really about. But the Shittim Gubetza says you got to take that word out of Tosos. But anyway, right after that word, Tosos says Umiu Bizman Hazeh Ein Yerushi Shum Adam Chashav Mumcha LaHatir B'char V'Neder B'Yichidi V'Lotan Dinei Mamonos. Even though we have discussions in Shas about a person being a Chacham on the level that he's able to be Matir B'char by himself, that he's able to be Matir Neder by himself, that he's able to be done Dinei Mamonos by himself, the Gemara Sanhedrin has a discussion. Is that only Gzelus V'Chavalos? Is that Hodos V'Alvos or Gzelus V'Chavalos as well? But whatever it is, whatever a person could be done by himself, none of that applies anymore. We don't have such a person on that Madrega already anymore in the times of the Balei HaTosfos. So presumably we would still assume that we no longer have people on that level. Okay, says the Gemara for that, the two dots. Rabbi Yossi Amar Afilu Yesham Chav Gimel. Rabbi Yossi says even if you have 23 people, it doesn't matter. You cannot shecht without a mumcha. So Amar Rav Chanan Alam Rav, Ein Alach Rabbi Yossi. We don't pass like Rabbi Yossi. Of course we don't pass like Rabbi Yossi. Pshita, Yachav Rabbim, Alach HaKarabim. Whenever you have an individual against the many, you always paskin like the rabbim against the yachid. Now, mal detemin nimuko imo, I would think that Rabbi Yossi is nimuko imo. He always says the most logical things, and he always explains his psak very well, and I would think, therefore, we paskin like him, kamash malad. So that's why we need to be told over here that we do not paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So once we're saying, ein alach Rabbi Yossi, that's another way of saying that you don't always need a mumcha. That you can go to three b'nai knesses, and that's good enough. You don't always need a mumcha. Says Mar Tifshut Meha, from this statement that we said that Amar Rav Chanan, Amar Rav, that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi, and that you don't always need a mumcha. Tach kamaisa mishmei d'shmuel itmar. Remember before we said Amar Rabbi Yudam Rabbi Yemir Barabba, and we weren't sure whether he said it in the name of Rav or he said it in the name of Shmuel, but somebody said gimel matirnes abachar b'makom shein mumcha, that you don't need a mumcha. Now I know that it must have been Shmuel. Deim mishmei d'Rav tarti lamali, because if it was in the name of Rav, then it's very repetitive. It was the same exact halacha we said before, that we said that three people could be matir even without a mumcha, and now you're saying halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. Those are the same thing. Why would Rav say the same thing twice? So it must be that Shmuel also held that way, and previously when you weren't sure who had said it, it must have been Shmuel that had said it. Says the Gemara, nah, not a raya at all. Chad mechal de chavir to itmar. No, you think Rav ever said ein halacha k'Rabbi Yossi? Rav said what we had credited to either Rav or Shmuel on the bottom of Amud Beis, that you don't need a mumcha, the three people is good enough. Okay, now, once Rav said that, we're reformulating Rav's words. We're saying, oh, if you want to know how to pass it in our Mishnah, clearly from Rav, you see that he holds Ein Halacha K'Rabbi Yossi. But Rav himself didn't formulate it in that way. So that's what was going on over here. It was not a direct statement of Rav that we were quoting, and therefore it could very well be that Rav was the author of the statement on the bottom of Amud Beis, and Shmuel does not necessarily hold that way. Okay, last mission of the parak. Hashochet as a b'char v'noda shalohar elu. A person shachs a b'char, and then it turns out that he never showed it to a chacham to be matirit. So masha achlu achlu v'yachsu lem adamim. Whatever the person ate, it's too late. They already ate it. But v'yachsu lem adamim. But because of a knas, Rashi says, you have to return the money that the fellow paid for it. Umasha lo achlu, and whatever the fellow did not yet eat, habasu you cover. You have to bury the meat because the b'char tam is asur ba'ana v'yachsir sadamim, and also reimburse the money the fellow paid for it. V'chein ha'shochet ha'saparu u'machra v'nodashi treifa. Or stam yishek meat, and it turns out that you were selling treifa meat the whole time. Masha achlu achlu, whatever the person ate is already gone, there's nothing you can do with it. Umasha lo achlu, hei mechziru lo sabasar, v'yachshalem ha'sadamim. But whatever has not yet been eaten, he should return the meat back to you, and then you have to reimburse all of the money. Machru lovit chavim oitilu la klavim yishalmu dmei treifa. If he's the guy who bought it already sold it to a guy, it turns out that you got lucky. Even though you sold this fellow baser treifa, you weren't machshil him in the iser because he sold it to a guy. So then you're yishalmu dmei treifa. You pay back the difference between what it costs to sell treifa meat and what it costs to sell kosher meat, because the fellow paid for a premium in order to buy kosher meat, and then he was only able to resell it to a guy for the value of treif meat, so you ripped him off by that amount, and that's what you would have to pay him back. You sell basar to somebody, turns out that it's bechor. Peros v'nimtza tevalim, you sell someone peros, turns out that the peros are all tevel. Yayin v'nimtza yayin nesach, you sell wine, it turns out it's yayin nesach. Mashach lachlo, whatever he ate, there's nothing you could do about, so it's gone. V'yachsu lemesadanim, but you have to reimburse all of the money. Rav Shimon ben Elazar omer, dvarim sha'nefesh katze behen, yachsu lemesadanim. Something that's going to, the person is going to find disgusting by the fact that he ate it, even though he ate it already, so his guf was l'chora ne'ene, because he doesn't need to eat lunch again, he already ate it, nevertheless you reimburse the money. But v'she'ena nefesh katze behem, yinaka lemesadamim. But if it was something that does not he was not disgusted by, so then you just change the price of the you have to reimburse the difference in price between the kosher and the non-kosher product, between what you had claimed you were selling him and what you actually sold him, but you don't have to reimburse all the money. What are things that we consider to be that a person, a regular religious person, would be nafshel katzaban, and therefore you have to reimburse the whole money, all of the money? What are examples of things that ain't a nefesh katzaben? Becharos, tevalim, v'yayin nesach. Right, bechar, tevel, and yayin nesach. So in those cases, you don't have to reimburse all the money, only the difference in price. Says Mar Bechar, v'leimalei mayav sadeticha. Well, wait a second. If you sold him a bechar, can't the Yisrael tell the Kohen who sold it, what sort of a loss did I cause you? If you still had the bechar, it would require kavura, because you shechted it as a tam. So what do you mean the difference in value? You're going to reimburse me the difference in value between a bechar tam and a bechar balm, the difference of value is the entire value of everything. So because what you sold me was worthless. Says Mar Lo Tzricha Kigon Dezaven Le Mimakom Muma. No, I sold you a part of the animal where there was a mum. I hadn't showed it to a chacham yet. Damar Le Ilav Da Chalta. Had you not eaten it, had you not eaten the meat that I sold you, I could have shown that to a chacham, and he might have been matirit based on that mum. Rabbi Yehuda, like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, who says earlier in this Masechta that if you shorchid a bechor and then you're maramumo, Rabbi Yehuda's matir. He holds that the mum is not going to change after death. That you could even he could have even done that. Tevalim, what could he have done with the tevel? Why does that have any value? Have a matkinan aluhu v'achal aluhu. I could have been masakin it. I could have been mafrit shumus ma'isros and then eaten it. Yayin nesach. What in the world could he do with yayin nesach? So the Gemara answers al yedei taroves. That the case is he didn't sell him regular yayin nesach. He sold him a taroves that has yayin nesach together with yayin kasher. So he could say ukram shum gomliel like ram shum gomliel d'tan yayin nesach. Rabbi Shimon Liel Omer. Shimon Liel says the whole thing doesn't become Aser Banah. You macher kula lovli chamchut midme yayin esach shabo. He could sell the rest. He could sell the whole bunch of wine and just deduct the price of the yayin esach as long as he sells it to an avid chavim. So there was a loss of money involved in no longer in the original owner no longer having these non kosher items because he could have gotten something out of them, and that's why when he reimburses, he doesn't have to reimburse the entire price. He only has to reimburse that that difference. Now there is a so in this Mishnah, the if you shecht the bechor and you find out that that you were never mar le mumcha, so your mat that was so mumcha never got to be matirit. The halacha is masha achlo achlo. You return the money. You reimburse the money. Whatever was not eaten, you cover and yachzir sadam. The seifa says if you're shochet a para and you sell it, and it turns out to be a treifa, whatever is achal achal, the yachzir sadamim, and whatever it was not eaten, yachzir sabasar, you give the basar back, and yachzir sadamim, and then the seifa says, further, if the people who bought it have since sold it to a guy, or fed it to dogs, then you don't have to give him the full value, just the dmei treifa. So the Mefarshim raised the obvious question, why doesn't it say that din in the Resha as well? By Yomocher Bechar, v'lo heres mum alamumcha. That and if I mean we only went through two possibilities over there, either he ate it or he didn't. What about maybe he gave it to a nachri or he fed it to a dog? How do I know that he didn't do that? There's no issur of a nachri eating a bechor. So this is the ha'ara that we pointed out the other day. The Tosfos Yom Tov in his commentary to the Mishnayos over here suggests that even though a bechor shenafel b'mum is allowed to be eaten by a nachri, there's no issur for a nachri to eat it. That's what we learned back on Daf Lamed Beis. Nevertheless, it's very uncommon to do that because Yisrael are Kedoshim Haim and they're Mechabiv, something that had Kedusha, that once had Kedusha, not to be Machilo, Legoyim, or Leklavim. So since it's something that's so uncommon, the Tana doesn't talk about such a case. Something that once had Kedusha, we wouldn't share with a Goy or a Kelev. So you have such a similar idea. The Beis Yosef in Or Chaim, Sim Kuf Samuch Zayin, quotes the name of the Kolbo in the Abu Dram that you shouldn't feed to an animal or to a Goy from the chaticha, the shenagaba prusa samotzi, that if you have your lecha mishnah and you're doing a mitzvah with the lecha mishnah, then you shouldn't feed that challah to a nachri. You shouldn't feed that challah because that has a certain level of kedusha. And the Beis Yosef writes, ain't smach l'davrzeh. He doesn't know where in the world this comes from. There's no smach for any such thing, but he quotes such a minhag. So the Taz writes that he saw in the Sefer Taimei Mitzvos L'Rikanti that he was also mazir not to feed matzah to a guy, and he gives a good reason for it. And he says he saw many people that are knowing this way and are careful about this on Pesach, and therefore from the stomach, the same is true by Chaticha Samotzi. And the Shlach HaKadosh writes the same thing, that he found Kosov in the Sefer, that since matzah is b'makom the Karban Pesach, you shouldn't give it to a guy, because the Pasuk says by Karban Pesach, Kol b'neichal lo yochal bo, so it's not necessarily like the Chavivus HaMitzvah, like the Taz and the Taz Yantiv, but separate. It's unique to Karban Pesach and matzah. The Kaf HaChayim in over there in Sivkatan Kuf Mem quotes a maisa Nora, he says, about the grandfather of Mahariach, the Bala Mechaber of Ben Yoyada and Rav Pa'alim and Ben Ishchai, that one time Yisrael Echad invited a goy Mishchena of one of his neighbors on Pesach, and he fed him the matzah that was on his table, and then he told it to Rav Moshe Chaim, Zichron Lebracha, and he told him, hey, you better be careful that year because there's going to be some nezek gadol that could come about this year because you fed this this the matzah to the non-Jew, and the end of the story was that same guy that he fed the matzah to came with a weapon attacking him, ready to kill this fellow, and it was a nace happened, and he was able to be borech. Okay, so but the idea for that is that either it's a unique din in matzah because of kol ben nechar, or the hanagah is based on what Tosyantif writes over here, that Klal Yisrael, when we have something that has kedusha, so we attach ourselves to that kedusha. But it is interesting that we have that Rashi had given the reason that you have to reimburse the money. The guy ate it already, whatever he ate, so now he doesn't have to buy lunch. So why is it that you have to reimburse all the money? After all, he was nana from what he ate. So Rashi writes knas, that it's a penalty because he did wrong by selling the animal, so as a knas, we make you reimburse the money. It's a punishment for the fellow who sold this. The Sma, however, in Chosh Mishpat, Simon Reish Lamedalid, writes another reason as well. He says that that achila is not called a hana'a. Adraba, he's going to feel guilty about it. People don't feel good when they found out that what they ate was not kosher. So that achila didn't provide him any hana'a. It only caused him tsar. Even though he was shogeg, he was upset about it. You've been shopping at a store for however number of months or years or whatever, and then you find out that the store was caught selling in the veils and trefus. Doesn't make a person feel good. A person gets very upset by such things. And therefore, you reimburse the money because you didn't actually provide the person with a service. The Bir Agra says a little bit different, similar to the Sma, but he says a little bit different. And he says that once it's Ispar Adavar, that the item was Aser, it didn't have any value. It's worthless. So because you're not allowed to do schora with machalos asuros, you're not allowed to do business with forbidden things. Rabbi Teller emailed me the other week when we mentioned this halacha, that you're not allowed to do schora with machalos asuros. He says, you're allowed to sell footballs, you're allowed to sell pigskins. No, we're talking about machalos asuros, things that people are going to eat, things that happen to be not kosher, that people aren't going to eat, that aren't meant to be eaten, that you could do schora. But with machalos asuros, there's an isser of schora. So the post can discuss a number of chilukim between these different reasons. The Shach writes, according to Rashi, that it's only Mishum Knas, then the chor of the guy did it b'shogeg. If the guy sold the b'shogeg, then there should be no knas. But according to the Sma, that there was no hanah, you gave me something that was aser, so it's going to be very upsetting to me, it's going to be mitzayir me, not mahanami. So then, Lechora, he should still reimburse the money, even though it was done by accident, even though it wasn't done purposely. In the Sefer Pisrei Choshen, he says, if a person sells trefos b'shogeg, if the mocher is muksuk, so in the money, he could say, Kimli Kedas Rashi and the Shach, that I hold like Rashi and the Shach, that it's only a knas, and I did it b'shogeg, and therefore I don't have to reimburse the money. Meaning that you have such a concept in Choshen Mishpah, that when you have a machlokas in Halacha, that the person who's mukhsa could say kimli. He could say, I hold like that shita, even though there are other shitas that maybe we would have otherwise held like. But that's the whole discussion in Simon Reish Lamedalid and Choshen Mishpah, is if you sell somebody something that was not kosher, do you have to reimburse the money or not? That's the famous Nesivus in Reish Lamedalid. The Nesivus points out that there's a difference between, the Shulchan Aruch points out, there's a difference between things that are asur midaraisa and things that are asur midrabanan. The Shulchan Aruch says, if you sold someone something that's asur midrabanan and he has already eaten it, then you don't need to reimburse the money. But in Issa Daraisa, and he's already eaten it, then you do have to reimburse the money. So the Nesivus explains, because an Issa Daraisa is an Issa Chefza. It's inherently Usher. So the guy is, you've done wrong by the person. The person ate something that was mamish machalos asuros. But an isser drabanan is not an isser chefza. There's nothing inherently usher about it. It's an isser gavra. Why are we not allowed to eat that which is usher midrabanan? Because the rabbanan said not to. Not because of any inherent characteristics that it has. That's the Nesivus' famous yisod, that an isser drabanan can't be an isser chefza because HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes in the Bria certain things have characteristics of usher and other things not. So whatever's only an isser drabanan was never in the Bria. That doesn't have characteristics of Isser. We only have to listen to the Chachamim. So the violation of every Yisr Drabanan is just, Meshchachma writes this way as well, violation of every Yisr Drabanan is a violation of rebelling against the Chachamim. But a person does an Yisr Drabanan B'shogeg, he wasn't rebelling against anybody, and Memele, there was no Isser. You do an Yisr Daraisa B'shogeg, you still ate a Cheftz of Machalos Hasuros. So that's why you would have to reimburse the person who ate the Isser Cheftz of the Yisr Daraisa. But say, if he only ate an Yisr Drabanan B'shogeg, he actually didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do any Aveira in the end of the day, and therefore would not be necessary to reimburse the person. There's an interesting discussion in Poskim, in the Ber Hetev, in Hilchos Purim. He says, Nistapakti, what if a person sent Mishloach Manos to somebody, and it was Nevelis Atrefus that he sent him? He didn't know the person already ate it. The person ate the, and then he realizes, oh, whoops, I sent the wrong package. I sent my package of Nevelis Atrefus to my friend, and he's already eaten the Mishloach Manos. Is he still Chayv Mishloach Manos? Was he not Yotze Mishloach Manos? That's an interesting discussion. That touches on other things, maybe some of the what's intended by Mishloach Manos, and that might be another nafkamina in the Manos Halevi Trumas Hadeshin discussion by Mishloach Manos. Okay, new parak now. So says the Mishnah, Al Elu Mumin Shochtin Esabachar. The following Mumin that could be in the ear of an animal are reason to Shecht a Bachar. So they are Nifkima Ozno Min Hachaschus. If the Ozen is missing a piece from its cartilage, Avlomina Or, but not from the just the skin part, or the fleshy part. Nistika Afalpi Shlo Chasra. If it's cracked, even if it's not missing. Nikva Melo Karshina Osha Yavsha. If it has a hole in it the size of a certain type of bean called the Karshina, or if it's totally dried out, the ear is totally dried out. Ezu Yavsha, what does it mean it's totally dried out? Kol Shetinake Venimotsiyati Vizdan. That if you were to take a needle and try to make it bleed, no blood would come out. Rabbi Yossi ben Amshulam Omer, Yavsha Shetei Nefreches. Yavsha means that it would just crumble. It's so dry. Forget about that, it doesn't bleed. It's just Nefreches. The whole thing would fall apart because it's so dry. So says the Gemara, well, wait a second. Why is it that these are mumin that are considered a significant enough mum to be matir b'char? Pisech v'iver k'siv. The pasuk says pisech v'iver, and it sounds like only such significant mumin, like the animal is totally lame or blind. Says Mar, no, k'siv nami ki yeh bo mum. Pasuk says ki yeh bo mum. Sounds like all other mumin are also included, and that's why these minor mumin in the ear also count as a mum. So frak the Gemara ve'ema ki yeh bo mum klal pisech v'iver prat klal prat in b'klal mashav prat pisech v'iver in midyach rin lo. Maybe this should be learnt as a klal uprat, and therefore only Pisech o'iver is in fact a mum. No, kol mumra chazav kolal. Pasuk says kol mumra, and that's another klal. So what's the limit? Klal uprat to klal, yatoda nelaken uprat. Once you have a klal uprat to klal, so then anything that's similar to the prat is enough to be considered a mum. Ma haprat, just like Pisech v'iver is mefarash mum shabagaloi vein and chazrin, is an exposed mum, and it's something that will never grow back, it's never going to change. So anything that's a mum shabagaloi and is not going to be chozer is going to qualify as a mum. Says Gemara ve'ema ma prat meforash mum shabagaloi ubotomi malachto. But there's something else about the prat. It's not only that they're a mum shabagaloi that's never going to come back. There are also the kinds of things that are crippling to the animal that will make it that the animal cannot do its malacha. Ve'ena chozer, it also won't come back. Af kol mum shabagaloi ubotomi malachto ve'ena chozer. Maybe in order to qualify as a mum, it can't be some problem with the ear. It has to be something that's going to be mevatel and mimalachto. Alam etnan, why does the Mishnah say nifkama ozno minachaschus v'lo minaor? So why does it give all these mumin in the ear in the Mishnah? They're certainly not mevatel and mimalachto. Answers Gemara, kol mumra ribuyahu. When the pasuk says kol mumra, it's a ribuy. So it's not meant to be darshan as a klal or prat klal. It's kol mum. We were marber from that any mum is matir to shecht the bechor la'achila without akrava, even a mum shaba ozen. Ihachi any mum, then mum and shaba seisa nami, then even a mum that's beseisa, that's not begolui, should be enough of a reason to shecht the animal. Alama tanan, why then do we learn in the Mishnah, or will we learn in the Mishnah, that chutin achitzonos shenifkemu v'shenigmemu v'apnimios shenekru, that are the outer gums of the animal that are missing a little piece, or that are cut along their width on the upper parts, even though they're not missing a piece, and the pnimios, the back gums of the animal where the wisdom teeth are, that are nekru, that are totally uprooted from the place, that's considered a mum. Sounds like the chanichayim apnimiim only if nekru in nifkemu v'nigmemu lo. well. Only if they're uprooted entirely, but if they are nifkam or nigmam, if they're cut in some way or missing a piece in some way, then that's not going to be considered a mum. Well, why isn't that included in the reboy of the pasuk that kol mum is matir for any type of mum? Says the Gemara, being a mum ra veleka. It's not any type of mum. It has to be a mum ra. What's a mum ra? Something that a person will look at the animal and say and see right away something's wrong with that animal. If all the way in the back of its mouth, by its wisdom teeth, there's some sort of mum, you wouldn't see that when you look at the animal. That would not qualify as a mum ra. Ihachi mum over nami. Okay, but still, if you're darshing from kol mum, then even if it's a mum over, it shouldn't have to be a mum kavua. Even a mum over should be enough. Alamatanan, why does the Mishnah say velomina or? That if the problem in the animal's ear is on the non-cartilage part of the ear, that's not considered a mum. Mum over svaruhu hashta mifrak lo parkin levei mishkat shkachtin levei. No, it's obvious based on svara that you can't shach the bechor based on the mum over, because you can't even be pulled a kachim based on the mum over. So you're going to be allowed to shach the bechor based on the mum over. So the Gemara says, how do I know that you can't be pulled a kachim based on the mum over? Titania, because we have a brisa that talks about pidyon kachim, that you cannot be pulled an animal that's a tamima because it's roi lakrava, only a balus mum. Pasuk says, "Vimkol behema tmeya." It's an unusual behema tmeya. Normally means a non-kosher type of animal. Asher leyakrivim menu karban laHashem. So the Gemara explains over here the phrase behema tmeya means bebalimum in a kasam medaber. We're talking about a balmum that was nifta. Since it's not roi lakrava, it's like a behema tmeya in the sense that it can't be brought as a carbon anymore. So you're podit. Pasuk says veherech hakohen osa, that you assess it in order to be podit it. Ata omer bebalimum shenifta akasam medaber ainu ala behema tmeya mamish. Wait, how do I know this is talking about balimum? The pasuk says behema tmeya. Maybe it's talking about a dog. So kishu omer, when the pasuk says the imba behema tmeya, hare behema tmeya. Because the pasuk already says the phrase behema tmeya, so it already covered natural behema tmeya. Hamani mekayim asher leyakrivu mimena. So what do I do with asher leyakrivu mimena? Avi omer elu balimum and sheniftu. That's a reference to a balmum that had pidyon. So yachul yiftu al mum over. I might have thought that you could be pode even if it only has a mum over. Talmud omer asher leyakrivu mimena korban laHashem. Mi she'ena kreva kol ikur yatsa zo she'ena kreva hayom el lemachar. It has to be something that's lo yakrivu mimenu karban laHashem, that could never be brought as a carbon. If it had a mum over, it's not that it could never be brought as a carbon, it's that it can't today be brought as a carbon, but you wait till the mum goes away and it would be able to be brought as a carbon. So you see that pidyon is an animal's only eligible for pidyon if it has a mum kavua, not a mum over. And therefore it's very mistaver that a bechor cannot be mutter with a mum over, only with a mum kavua. Iba yasema, or another possibility, imkein pesech v'yever lamali. How do I know it's got to be a mum kavua? Because why would the Torah give those examples of pesach v'yever if anyway we're just going to say that every mum is good enough? It must be that there's something to learn from there, that those mumin are a mumin kavuin and they are not a mum over, and only such mumin would pasul. Nistakaf plishalocha. So we then said if there's a crack, even though it's not missing anything in the ear, Tan Rabbanan has said the kol shehu hapigima bein bidei adam bein bidei shemayim. Sedek is whatever size. Pigima, or it could be in whatever way, the shear is a kol shehu. Pigima is whether it's done by people or whether the pigima happens bidei shemayim. Mechal the sedek bidei shemayim lo. Wow, that makes it sound like that a sedek that happens bidei shemayim would not pasul b'char, because it only says by pigima whether it's bidei adam or bidei shemayim. Ella sedek u pigima bein bidei shemayim bein bidei adam. No, both by sedek and pigima, it doesn't matter whether it's bidei adam bidei shemayim. The kama shear pigima kadesh tachro batzi parin. The shear of a pigima is like the pigima of a shechita knife, that it would catch your fingernail when you run your fingernail along the edge. So you run your fingernail along the edge of the animal's ear, if it would be pogim, so that's enough. Nikva below, so then we said if the hole in the ear is the size of a karshina, that would be a mum. Tan Rabbanan kama nikiva sa'ozen, melo karshina. Rabbi Yosef Rebido omer bikadasha. Rabbi Yosef Rebido says, no, it's the size of an adasha. Ve'ezu yivesha, and how dry is dry to be a mum? She'im tinake ve'ena matziya tipastam. Rabbi Yosef Rebido Meshulam omer yivesha kadesh te nefreches. So that too is a machlokas, whether it's enough that it wouldn't bleed or enough that it's so dry that it falls apart. So Tan Akrovin Devrein Leoshavin. These two opinions seem to be very close to each other. So Devrei and Deman, which two opinions? Either, which machlokas are we talking about? The dryness machlokas or the size of the pegima machlokas? What are you talking about? If it's about the dryness, there's a huge difference between that which is so dry that it wouldn't bleed and that which is so dry that it would just crumble. Ella de Tanakam of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. It must be the shear of the pegima, the machlokas, whether it's the size of a karshina or the size of an adasha, that's very similar to each other. Kadasha in batsimi kadasha lo. It sounds like that if the hole is smaller than an adasha, then it would not be considered a mum. I frankly more mini, I'll ask you a stira. We learned by an eved that Marzeya, in Liela Marzeya, I would only know that you're allowed to use a Marzeya to pierce his ear when he wants to stay. All these other types of sharp implements. Anything that that you could pick up with your hand. Give Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Omer Marzeya. Ma Marzeya miyuchad shom latechas. Have called shom latechas. No, just like Marzeya's metal, it has to be a metal tool. The Katani Sefer. The Sefer goes on to say, Om Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Hayadoresh Kishahein Rotsin Ein Rotsin Ela Bamilas. You can only do the Ritzia on the lobe of the ear, the soft part of the ear. V'cham momrim, ein eved ivri kohen nirtza. An eved ivri that's a kohen can't have ritzia, m'nei shenasa balmum, because it will turn him into a balmum. V'im tomar v'milas ayirotzin, eich eved kohen nasa balmum. If it was on the soft part of the ear, it wouldn't make him a balmum, because it could just grow back, right? It wouldn't be a mum kavua. Ha ein rotzin el begova shalozin. No, you only do the ritzia on the cartilage part of the ear. So since we see that ritzia makes an eved into a balmum, and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says, you could do the ritzia with a machat. A machat doesn't make a large hole. It's way smaller than an adasha. So don't you see that a balmum could be even with less than an adasha? How come we said only the size of an adasha will make it into a balmum? Samar of Chana bar Katina lo kasha. Kan lishchot kan lifsol. It's a different din of balmum when it comes to a bechar and when it comes to an eved ivri. The gedder of what's going to be considered a balmum is going to require a much bigger hole when it comes to a bechar than it will with an eved ivri. My karshina, what is a karshina? I'm Rav Shravya, hinda. It is a certain min that's called a hinda. Okay, we'll have to pick up with Bai Minerav Hoshaya, Merav Huna Rabba tomorrow.